In time to just trace through the Lord's Prayer. Words that I guess were familiar with us, and if they weren't, then they should be now, as we have taken time to reflect upon them. And today we come to this phrase, "And lead us not into temptation." And lead us not into temptation. And the first thing to note is that this word temptation can just as readily be translated as testing. A few weeks ago, the Pope Francis, suggested that maybe the Lord's Prayer should be changed. Did you pick this up? And he was saying, well, you know, the prayer says, lead us not into temptation. And the Pope was saying, rightly, surely God does not tempt us. God does not tempt us, so maybe we should change the wording here. And he wanted to change the "and lead us not" part of it. And I'm not going to change that today. But this word temptation can just as readily be translated as testing. And we see a number of examples in the Bible where people were tested by God, or God allowed the testing. The point being, not that God was tempting somebody to fail, which temptation is about the possibility of failure. It is about the tempter, whoever is doing the tempting, looking for opportunities to subvert and undermine so that somebody will fail. Testing is wholly other than that. Testing is about saying, who are you? Or the phrase, what are you made of? Testing is about discovering what we are made of. And if I was to give you all a piece of paper and to write down, what are you made of? I wonder what we would put on that piece of paper about ourselves. What is it the testing would reveal about us? There is the story in the Bible of a man called Job. It's reckoned to be possibly one of the oldest stories that we have in the Hebrew Bible. And Job, by every account, was very successful. Everything in his life was going well for him. His business was going well. His home was going well. His family was going well. Everything, we might say, was prospering. It was all headed in the right direction. And we have this curious scene in Job chapter 1 where we're told Satan approaches God. And Satan says to God, the only reason Job trusts you, the only reason Job is faithful to you is because you look after him. Because you've given him all this stuff. You've helped him to prosper. And that's why he trusts you. That's why he's faithful. See, God looked gladly upon Job. And Satan, the tempter, said to God, give me permission to take these things away, and then we will see what he's made of. He will deny you. And of course, you know the story. And it's fascinating to read, certainly that opening couple of chapters of Job, about how Satan caused certain things to happen, and Job was left bereft, grieving. But he didn't deny God. Job was going through a time of testing. That's what the story talks to us about what it is to go through a time of testing when potentially everything is stripped away from us and we discover who we truly are. Another example is the story of Abraham, a very different story and a very, in many ways, a disturbing story. It's not a children's story. You know, the funny thing is that, ironic thing I suppose, is that a lot of the stories we tell in Sunday school, you know, they're not children's stories. You know, Noah and the flood, you know that's not a children's story. Do you know? You're not sure about that. But the whole world being destroyed? Hey, it's not a kid's story. You know, it's serious business. And one of the other stories that we have that's not a children's story, certainly for my son it's not a children's story, is the story of, you can guess what's coming, is the story when God, well, Abraham understands God saying to him, your precious son, your son who is the fruit of my promise that Abraham waited all his long life for, I want you to take your son Isaac and sacrifice him. That's a very disturbing story. But I think for Abraham, there was that sense of, I trust God. I trust God. And even when we read in Hebrews chapter 11 about Abraham, talks about Abraham receiving Isaac, as it were, back from the dead. Because Abraham trusted God. And Isaac was not sacrificed. And what was going on there? It was about testing. It was about testing. It wasn't tempting Abraham. It was testing Abraham. Saying, what are you made of, Abraham? How resolute are you in your trust of God? And then just a third example is that of Peter in the New Testament. Do you remember how Jesus, sitting with the disciples and his final meal, one of you will betray me. And Peter and all the disciples look around at one another, disturbed by this news, knowing that Jesus spoke truth. And as this clamor goes on around them, Peter turns to Jesus and says, Jesus, they might betray you, I won't. He was being tested. What was he made of? And the trauma of his denial. Once, twice, three times. And Jesus looks at Peter, and Peter weeps. He's been found out. And that was testing. Not temptation, it's about testing. It's about discovery of who somebody truly is. And this prayer, lead us not to that place. It's interesting to note in this prayer, when we read, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, there is a great emphasis upon almost demanding of God, your kingdom come. It's very strong. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then give us today. Again, the sense there is very strong. Give us today. Almost demanding of God. And then forgive us our sins. Again, that same strength. Demanding of God. Forgive us our sin. But here, the sense is far more gentle and easy. It's not demanding of God. It's saying of God, lead us not. We know we may have to go there. But Lord, if it is your will, I'll still trust you. And that is the strength of what we have here. But there is also, just in this phrase, this, and lead us. This is what the Pope was concerned about. Does God lead us into temptation? Now, I've already said my preferred translation here is this word testing rather than temptation. Lead us not into testing. And I hope I've explained some of why we might pray that. That sense of being stripped bare. Does God lead us in this way? That's a rhetorical question.
Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert. I think it's in Mark's Gospel. Mark chapter 1, verse 12. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And again, we have the same in Matthew chapter 4 as well. In Mark, it's not just the Spirit led Jesus out. That sense of the Spirit taking the hand of Jesus and saying, okay, come, this way, come on. Mark's way of phrasing it is the Spirit gets behind Jesus and pushes him into the desert for his testing. That's Mark's sense. Luke is far more gentle. The Spirit led him. But Mark, no, he's being pushed, forced, cast into the desert, into this place of testing. And so God does lead us. God led Jesus into the wilderness to be tested, to discover who Jesus is. And I've got three words I'm going to just hook my thoughts on. Faithfulness, humility, and love. As we pray, lead us not into temptation, or lead us not into testing. Testing is a time of great vulnerability, and it can be a time of great pain. It can be a time of great pain physically, but it can also be a time of great pain emotionally. It's a time when we can feel utterly bereft, as if there is no one who understands who we are or what we are or what we're trying to do or be. Testing can be a time when we are left utterly alone, emotionally, utterly alone. And there is no one, we would believe, who understands where we are. When the devil led Jesus into the wilderness, we have the record both in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. In Luke 4 it says, verse 3, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God. And then in verse 9 again, when the devil leads Jesus to Jerusalem and the devil has him stand on the highest point of the temple, again this phrase, if you are the Son of God. The only times that phrase is used in the whole of the New Testament, it's used twice in Matthew 4 during the testing accounts of Jesus. It's used twice here in Luke 4, and then it's only used one other time in the whole of the New Testament. Here's a quiz test for you. Oh, you're sharp. Yeah. It is. See, it almost, before I finish the question, he's got the answer. Only one other time. I think it's Matthew 27. Either Matthew 27, something like that. Jesus is crucified, and the people mock him, and they look at him, if you're the Son of God, come down. And see what the devil is doing here with Jesus in the wilderness in this time of testing is mocking him. He's mocking him. Is there anything worse? When you are feeling vulnerable and alone, when you feel nobody understands who you are or what you are or what you're going through, when you feel no one is there for you, is there anything worse than being mocked in that place? And that is the challenge of testing. And that's why I've put this first word, faithfulness, up. The challenge in testing is faithfulness.
This word faithfulness, it's about trusting God. Do we trust God? Do we trust God that God is with us even in the darkness, even when the light itself is dark? Do we trust that God is with us? Do we trust, as with Jesus, when he was hanging on the cross and he was being mocked and the pain and excruciation of his experience was very present for him, and he cries out, my God, why have you abandoned me? Even in those moments, do we still continue to trust? Are we still faithful to God? That's what testing is about. What are we made of? Who are we? Are we faithful? And so we pray, Lord, do not lead us into testing because of the excruciating pain that we can experience in that place. And yet God will take us there just to reveal to us who we are. And he will comfort us and guide us in a wonderful and beautiful way. Will we continue to be faithful to what God has called us to do? Some of us experience testing when we believe that God has put a particular word in our heart or our life, and we're beginning to make decisions based on what God, or we believe God, has placed within us. And when the going gets tough, and maybe people are mocking us because of the decisions we are taking on the basis of what we think God has said to us, will we remain faithful to what we sense God has said to us? And we can experience that testing. Do we really trust this is what God has said? Genesis, story of Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, saying the serpent comes to Eve. Do you remember what he says? Did God really say? That's sowing the seed of doubt. In the time of testing, we are called to be faithful. We are called to trust, even when the seeds of doubt are sprouting all around us. We are called, I should click here, really, faithfulness. We are called to humility. In the time of testing, we are called to humility. Do you know? You could give up on God. Do you accept that as a possibility? We may not like to think it, but you know you could. That's a very real possibility for every single one of us. And as we pray this prayer, Lord, lead us not into temptation, in the first instance, it is about faithfulness and trust and us reckoning with who we are and our trust of God, but it's also about humility. Do we say with Peter, they might deny you, but I will never deny you? Or do we say, it could be me? And testing is about taking us to a place of humility. It's revealing to us, sometimes in a place of shame, revealing to us our own arrogance and drawing us to a place of humility. Testing is about humility. And then thirdly, testing is about love. Because at the end of the day, there is only
love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that very final verse. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And the Apostle Paul begins the chapter: if I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and I can perform many miracles, and I can do so many wonderful things, but I have not love, he says, I am nothing. And I've said before, and I find it so striking, that in that verse the Apostle Paul does not say, if I can speak with the tongues of men and angels and I can prophesy and so on, but I haven't got love, then the tongues are nothing, or the prophecies are nothing. He doesn't say that. He says, if I do all this wonderful stuff and I haven't got love, I am nothing. When Peter said, I'll never deny you, Lord. And then three times he says, I never knew him. I never knew him. I never knew him. And he weeps because he knows he did it. He was unfaithful. He was arrogant. He thought it would never happen to him. And then, after the resurrection, Jesus meets up with Peter on the shore of Lake Galilee. Do you remember the words of Jesus to Peter? Do you love me? Do you love me? Three times. Do you love me? Testing is about saying, what do you value? What's important in your life? Do you understand that love is the only thing worth anything? And we are seduced by so many other things in this world. We are seduced by so many other things in this world. And we are seduced by so many other values in this world. And we are seduced by the thought that if only we have, we will be safe. If only we have, we will be secure. If only I can have, then I will be comforted. But the scripture tells us time and time again that the only thing that will ever last, the only thing that's of any value, is love. And testing takes us to that place and reminds us, if you've lost everything but you still have love, you have everything. And so we pray this prayer: lead us not into temptation, or lead us not into testing. It's not a demand of God. It's not a demand of God of your kingdom come, or give us this day our daily bread, or forgive us our sins. It's not demanding that God doesn't do this. But it's acknowledging, you may have to take me there, Lord, so that you and I can see who I am, that I can experience the value of what really matters, that I will learn to trust you, that I will know what it is to be humble and gentle in heart, that I will learn again, afresh, more beautifully than before, that love is the only thing that matters. And so we pray, Lord, lead us not to testing. Let's pause together and pray. Gracious Father, we thank you again for the abundance of your love. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us. Thank you that you are true and dependable. Father, thank you that you never leave us nor forsake us. Father, thank you that you are always with us. Father, you know our heart's desire is that we might always be faithful to you, that we might trust you more deeply every day, that we might know you more and more, and every day we might taste and see the depth and breadth and height and length of your extraordinary love. Father, we thank you for the blessings that we experience in our lives, for everything we do. Thank you for everything that we have, for all the friends and family that we have, for every blessing that makes us who we are. And yet, Father, we would hold to all these things lightly, that we might know and confess that in the end, as in the beginning, there is God and there is love. Father, lead us not into testing. But if we are led into testing, keep us strong. Keep us faithful. Keep us true. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.